It's not done yet. Okay? It keeps going. Okay? Because, talk to me. There we go. It starts all over again. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Anybody put that for me? Call me and I will answer thee. That's the whole verse, right? Call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will what? Show you great and mighty things which you what? Know not. Oh, there's more. We are not done. We're just getting cranked up here. Okay? So the idea here is that this is a process. The big mistake is that people start out, you know, they got a prayer request, okay? And so, okay, I want to find out what God wants to do in this situation. Okay, now I figured it out. Now I know that's God's will, so I'm going to pray that. Now I'm done. It's not quite that simple much of the time. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is. Okay? But most of the time it's not. Especially when we talk about a particular kind of prayer. Right? Now, there's different kinds of prayer. But you remember when the disciples, they didn't tell the Lord about it. There was a guy who came after they had been sent out to preach the gospel and were told to cast out demons and so forth. And a little bit later, this guy shows up, and the apostles are thinking, oh, no, it's him. And why are they thinking that? Because he said, came up to the Lord and says, I brought my son, who has this demon, to your disciples, and asked them to cast this demon out, and they couldn't do it. And what did Jesus do? Just real briefly. Anybody remember that story? A little bit later, but the first thing he did was what? Yeah, he cast out the demon. Gone. Okay. Then the disciple said, a little bit later, if the guy's gone, and the embarrassment's wearing off a little bit, okay, a learning experience, okay, why couldn't we do it? And you're right, he rebuked them for their little faith, but he said, but this kind only comes out by, anybody remember what it was? Prayer and fasting. This is something we know almost nothing about in American Christianity. Okay? We don't fast and pray. We pray fast, right? Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, part of the problem is that people tend to think of prayer and fasting as another way to manipulate God. It's kind of like, you know, the kid steps beans up his nose and holds his breath till he dies, you know? If I just suffer enough, God will have to give in and give me what I want. No, we're not manipulating God. That's not what fasting is about. Fasting is about not getting God's attention, but God getting our attention. Woo! And it's not easy. There's an awful lot of interference between here and heaven, right? The signal is pretty weak a lot of the time. Now, that's not God's fault. Whose fault is that? Our fault. So there are times when we've got to push a lot of stuff out of our life so we can hear what God is saying. And if you want to make a note of another passage, take a note of where missions began. You say, where is that? Matthew 20. No, not Matthew 28. It began in Acts 13. Missions, as what we call, really began in Acts 13. Up to that, people went, but nobody was sent. It wasn't until Acts 13 that they were sent. And that whole thing was born out of the fact that these people who were serving the Lord, they were prophets and teachers. It says as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word ministered to the Lord, the word minister is very interesting. Some translations have it, worship. It's the word that refers to the work of a priest. It's not the work of a prophet. It's not the work of, you know, cleaning up after a meal. It's not the work of a deacon. Okay? That's a different word. And all those things are good. But that's not this. This is the ministry of a priest. What were they doing? They were interceding for the souls of men. They were praying and fasting. Okay? They were seeking God's will, God's purpose, how God was going to do what he had told them to do. Did they have a command that related to getting the gospel to all nations? I heard it somewhere. It sounded like she said, Yeah. Okay, the answer is yes. Okay, they did have. Anybody know what that command was? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. That's pretty straightforward, okay? But it wasn't happening. Not in their world. And apparently these guys began to get really burdened about this. Say, okay, we know you want us to, so we just march out and do it? No, we need to know. We need some help here. And they were on their knees. They were focused on how can God help us to do what he's told us to do. And that's when they heard from God, and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do. And boom, that's when it all really got cranked. Okay? So, we're talking about prayer and fasting. When this is what we're talking about here is what I would refer to as a prayer project. This is not just a one-off. This is, we were talking a little bit, I guess it was yesterday, Rosemary and I were talking about different kinds of prayer. Talking about, and she gave me a great illustration, okay? Talk about, a lot of people get real excited about Nehemiah's prayer, you know, those little quickies, you know, shoot this little prayer bulletin up to heaven and boom, you know, God answers. And that's great. You know, I mean, he's on his way up the aisle to talk to the king and he's praised to the God of heaven and God answered. What a lot of people forget is in the chapter before that, it talks about how he had been spending days and days and days doing what? Praying and fasting. He had spent time of focused prayer, concentrated prayer, seeking the mind and will and heart of God before he ever started heading up that aisle to talk to the king. You're not ready to do those little quickies until you've done the hard work that goes behind it of getting in touch with what God is doing and what God wants to do and what God will do if we ask him. Okay? So then he was ready. And guess what? Did things happen? Yes, they did. Big time. And he ends up going back to Jerusalem and they build the walls and so on and so forth. Okay. So you see what I'm getting at here? All right. Wow. The point is that this really is a cycle, a process. This is not a prayer wheel, okay? This is, but it is a cycle. It's an ongoing process because what happens is that you don't get all the answers the first time around. Okay, now look at it wouldn't be the other side, but the handout that you've got there. Yeah. Okay. And this, you don't have to do it this way. This is just to kind of help you get the idea. But you start out by stating the apparent situation need. What we're talking about is our context. And notice the key word there is apparent. Okay, this is the way it looks from here. At this point. This is just, we're just getting started here, okay? So, but state it. Don't just let it be fuzzy. Try to write it down. Get clear on what you're praying about. Okay? And record the date that you started. Notice the key word there is, starts with an S. Started, okay? Because this is going to be a process. It's going to take a while, all right? Okay, anybody else need those? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Okay, the next thing is you begin to search the scriptures, okay? That's this part here. You start studying the scriptures, okay? For relevant aspects of God's determined will, his great plan, and write down as you find things. Now, here's where there is no substitute for a general mastery and grasp of the Word of God. Here's where your pastor and other people who've been in the Word of God for a long time can help you. Even people who have not been in the Word of God as long as you have, perhaps. They may have run, you know, you can talk. This is where corporate prayer comes in. You can begin to gather the biblical knowledge, not just that you have, but that those around you have. And you can begin to involve them in the process. This gets pretty exciting. Okay? But it's not just, you know, repetitious prayer, not just going to, you know, it's like, let's get together on it. Let's find out what God wants to do, and let's find out together. You'll be amazed at what begins to happen as God draws people together, as you begin to pray, really pray together. Not just be together and pray, but really, you know, this is a joint effort, okay? Okay, so you begin to write down the references or for the Bible passage that you found that's relevant to that. Write this down because you're going to come back to it, okay? The relevant truth that you've discovered. What is it about in this passage that relates about God's determined will? Then the resulting perspective on this prayer project. What's the point? How does it relate? What's it got to do with this? And that would be things, well, that means there's no point in asking for this. There might be some room to ask for that, okay? See, all right. We know God wouldn't be, you know, going this direction because he's not going to do that because we've got it in his word. He doesn't work that. Okay. Reasons why God should intervene. Things God definitely will not do. What role the outcome might play in God's plans. Okay, these discoveries will give you confidence and direction in prayer. That's a starting point. This kind of gets you headed down the runway in the right general direction. Okay, so you're not going to go off into the woods. Okay, but you're going to head down the runway. Okay? Okay, the next step, search the scripture for relevant aspects of, guess what? God's, what's step number two there? His desired will. Okay? So you're searching the scriptures for relevant passages that have to do with God's desired will. Okay? What he has said he wants to do in cases like this. Once again, don't just rely on your own Bible knowledge, but get as much as you can, but ask people. You know, have you ever, here's a situation, has anything like this ever happened in the Bible? You'll be amazed. Almost everything that ever happens has happened in the Bible. Really? It's incredible. Solomon said there is what? Nothing new under the sun. It's been there, done that, okay? And God has been there and done that, okay? Almost anything that happens, something similar has happened somewhere in the Bible, okay? So, as you do that, you write down the reference about the relevant truth you've discovered, what God wants to do himself. Now, notice that. There's some things that only God can do. But what God wants, and notice the blank there. And you fill in that blank with the name of someone in the circle of influence. What am I talking about? In any situation, there is a circle of influence. That is, there are people who have some influence over this situation, for better or for worse. There are people who are factors in this situation. You might be one of them, but there may be other people, okay? So what might God want Joe to do? What might God want the pastor to do? What might God want missionary Phil to do? Okay, see what I'm getting at here? Okay. And perhaps most important of all, what God wants. Yeah. Here's the rubber starting to really meet the road. What role might I have to play in this? Okay? That doesn't necessarily mean you can just fix it, but you might just be able to encourage somebody in the midst of this. Okay? All kinds of things. These discoveries will move your prayer in specific positive steps toward the fulfillment of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, then you record your prayers of faith in response to the discoveries above. Okay, as you move this, you look at what ought to be, and notice it's plural. Your prayers of faith. Again, it's not just once around here. So let's try to do this quickly. Let's say, have you ever prayed for somebody who's unsaved? Good. I am really glad. I'm not going to ask you what you did, but if we were to do it this way, what would happen? Well, the first thing we would say, is there any reason why God wouldn't want, it's out of the question, this guy is not going to get saved. Yeah, but when we get down here, we've got a different story. God is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All. So God's desired will is that, let's call him Fred, that Fred will get saved. How do we know that? Because he's still breathing. And God said so. So when you put God's word together with Fred, who's lost and still breathing, you know that Fred ought to get saved. God wants him to get saved. Okay. So now we're ready to go to number four and say, Lord, save Fred. It's done. We might as well just vote him into membership because I prayed the prayer of faith and Fred's going to get saved. We can go ahead and baptize him as far as I'm concerned. Right? Ooh. This guy is really weird. Okay. No, we're not ready for that yet. This is a process. Focus on what you do know. Yeah, we're not ready. Huh, I don't know about that. Well, let's kind of go back. Fill in something that God might want you to do. What might God want you to do in this situation? Fred's lost. God wants him saved. What role might he want you to play? Tell him. Yeah, that's not too hard. So what would you ask for? Wisdom? What? Strength? Anything else? Something Paul often asked people to pray for him in his ministry of reaching the lost. Open doors. Remember Lydia? The Lord opened what? Her heart. See, there's some things only God can do. Now, he may give you just the open door of an opportunity to share the word. He might give you the opportunity to plant the seed. He might give you the opportunity to do something that will let him know that Christians aren't all totally weird. A little weird, but not totally weird. And I just put a little crack in the door. You know, well, they're not completely nuts, you know. It could be, you know, what we're talking about is this can, how did I do that? Will that go away?
Left butt.
It did. Oh, that's amazing. Okay. So, ask and you shall receive. So, what we're saying is, this goes in stages. It's not a great flying leap. It's a process. Okay? You got to have the engine running. Okay? So, that's what we're talking about. We're just about out of time. So, as we look at this whole thing, the whole point is that everything is about the will of God and all these things. The name of Christ, praying in the Spirit, praying with the understanding, praying in faith. All have to do with God's will being done, of glorifying the name of His Son. We could look at all kinds of things, but our time is really gone. I'd hope we might take a look. I tell you what, if you get a chance, make a note. There are several passages you could look at. This is a pattern, by the way, that you see over and over and over again in the great prayers that are recorded in Scripture. This isn't just, you know, a really cool little diagram, okay? It actually is there in Scripture. Let me just encourage you to look. Probably one of the Bible passages where this pattern is easiest to see is found in a chapter that's best known for something entirely different. That's Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 is probably best known for the prophecy of the 70 weeks. But most of Daniel chapter 9, as important as the prophecy of the 70 weeks is, as far as God's determined will, okay, most of the chapter is about Daniel's prayer. And it is one of the most glorious prayers in all of Scripture. And it beautifully illustrates this whole process. We'll see. I'm not sure what we're going to end up doing. Maybe we'll have a chance to look at that together. We'll see how that goes. But you can look at it for yourself and see if you can kind of see this pattern in Daniel's prayer. Okay? I think you'll find it kind of interesting.